Are you looking for a comprehensive and convenient online health fitness training platform? Look no further than Vikido Fitness Academy. With a variety of programs designed to meet your needs, this platform offers everything from weight loss and wellness group coaching programs to an emotional intelligence course. You'll learn what to eat in order to achieve optimal health and energy levels. You'll have access to exercise training, live coaching meetups with myself, Dr. Vicki Haywood-Doe, and other instructors, as well as support and accountability throughout your journey. Whether you prefer to work out at home or at your favorite gym, Vikido Fitness Academy makes it easy to follow along with their programs. So get started on your journey to better health and fitness. Visit vikidofitness.com/VDF Academy.
The views and opinions expressed are for general informational purposes only. Consult with your physician or medical healthcare provider for medical advice, diagnosis, and or treatment.
Today, we talk about the new CDC life expectancy data, and it looks like we are rebounding slowly from the pandemic. Life expectancy in 2022 rose more than a full year to 77.5 years in data released by the CDC. More than four-fifths of this positive jump was attributable to a drop in COVID deaths. We're going to discuss the reasons and how we are rebounding back from the COVID-19 pandemic. All this and more on It's All About Health and Fitness.
Welcome to It's All About Health and Fitness with Dr. Vicki Haywood-Doe and Dr. Virginia Banks Bright. This program is brought to you by Vikido Fitness, a multimedia health and wellness forum. Now, here's your host, Vicki Doe and D. Banks Bright.
I'm Dr. Vicki Haywood-Doe, and with me is the one and only Dr. Virginia D. Banks.
Hey, Vicki Doe, how are you?
I am fine, and we are here once again. It is December. Oh, my God. Right? December.
It really is. I mean, it's time is just flowing fast.
Yes, it is.
I have to tell you, I'll be very happy when the days start getting, because I'm kind of sick of this
darkness,
night.
Right?
I just can't do it. Just not good for my mood, waking up and it's dark. And now you sun sets at like 4:35. You know, It's very depressing. You know, there are reports of people, and that's why these countries, like in Scandinavian countries, have high suicide rates.
Yes, they do. Because of what they call it, seasonal depression. Is that what? Yeah,
exactly.
So, yep. But yeah, you know, so far we're okay. It hasn't just blown out yet, but I'm sure it's going to come with all the snow and blizzard.
You know, it's coming. We've been lucky. I'm just holding my breath. You know, it's coming.
It is coming.
It's coming.
Yes, it is.
Coming.
But we're here today, right, Dee?
Yes.
We are here. And this is episode 272. And today we talk about the new CDC life expectancy data that has come out. And it looks like we are rebounding very slowly from the pandemic. And so the CDC talks about life expectancy. The numbers in 2022 rose more than a full year to 77.5 years, the life expectancy. And this data was released past Wednesday, I would say two Wednesdays ago, by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And it says more than four-fifths of this positive jump was attributable to a drop in the COVID-19 deaths. And so we're going to discuss the reasons, and Dr. D. Banks will give us the latest as to why, you know, the slow rebound from COVID, why is it possible? What is going on? You know, what can we do if we can do anything and all of that? And so we will talk about this and much more on this episode on our show. It's All About Health and Fitness, Vikido Fitness. So what do you say to that, Dee?
Yeah, you know, every time we take this monster for granted, it throws us another curve.
Yes, it does.
You know, and the long-term effects we're still learning about. We're still relatively new into this. Somebody was just pointing out yesterday, it was just, 2020, 3 years ago now that the vaccine came out.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very good, because I think people would have had PTSD even more so if we didn't have a vaccine and had to be
No question. And a lot more deaths. I mean, this was a monster. This thing was a monster.
So, yes, yeah.
Yeah. Kudos, and kudos to the sister who was responsible for helping to develop the
vaccine. Yes, yes. Kudos to her. But yeah, so we're going to talk about that and much more on this show. And so make sure you go to our resources page, www.vickidofitness.com/resources, and check out the tools and products that we know will help you to reach your healthy lifestyle goal. It is not too late. I know it's December now. We're saying it wasn't too late and it was October, November. Now it's December. We want you guys to go to our resources page. We have a variety of items on our resource list for you to check out and try. And it's never too late. You know, we want you to move into, now it's really time to focus, because you want to move into the new year 2024 with your healthy living goals ready to happen, and you're doing it. And so we have things on our resources page that you can look at. We got yoga download, The Right Stuff. That's a medical supply website for a caregiver or for any of the things that you need. Art of Tea, you know, I always go, I love right now to taste that whole coconut cream, the white coconut cream tea that they have with the Art of Tea. It's very good. Every time the fall and the winter come, I always want that tea. Mm-hmm. And so the Art of Tea has that. Ecolunchbox.com, Alive Core, Cardio, that's where you can put your fingers on this little gadget and you can see your heart rate, your EKG or your ECG that they say, and much more. We have all of that on our resources page. But let's talk a little bit briefly about the yogadownload.com. This is the time if we want to be tight and right and relax ourselves, yoga is the way to go. Yoga is the premier online destination for downloading, streaming online yoga. They have yoga classes on there, meditation, Pilates, bar, and fitness classes online since 2009. They offer 1,700 plus classes taught by professional instructors, including world-renowned yoga teachers in the likes of Anna Forrest. And so make sure you go to our resources page and check that out. There's a demo on our page to show what a typical yoga class will look on their platform. And so it will be there, vickidofitness.com/resources. And remember, when you go to this page and you click and you use any of our affiliate links to buy any of the products and services on our page, you're supporting us here. That's another way to support us here at Vickido Fitness. And we love that. And as always, Dee, what do we say?
Thank you, thank you, thank you for your support.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for your support. Well, Dee, we were talking before we pushed that record button. We were talking about how wonderful the Lynx, Youngstown, Ohio, our Emerald Affair. It was fabulous.
Yeah, it was fabulous. In fact, my friend, Dr. Lolly, came and Facebook, Youngstown chapter of Game Changers. So she was very impressed with all the stuff, you know, that we do, because we're a small chapter compared to a lot of these other chapters all over the United States. And we do a lot.
Yes.
You know, so I think we just, everybody showed up and showed out.
Showed up and got dolled up and dressed up, right?
They did.
Yes, and the men, it was nice to see my honey sweet. He had his tux on and his bow tie. And all the folks that came, I had my folks and colleagues from Kent State. They came up.
I saw that.
And they were loving it. We just had a good time. You know, of course, Yvonne Mathis was hanging out with us, and Dr. Caesar Augustine and his wife, Dr. Kelly, Dr. Kelly Kirksey, and just a whole bunch of folks that I haven't seen for a while. It was just nice, you know, Linda Robinson, who's been in the trenches with dialysis, a nurse practitioner. She's been in with dialysis for years.
Forever, since I came to town.
I mean, forever, yeah. Mm-hmm. So she was there and everything. It was just a lot of people there that it was great to see us get there and just look beautiful. You know, one of my friends called from one of the newspapers and stuff, Metro Monthly, you know him, Mark Paco. He was like, man, I'm looking on this Facebook, looking at all these pictures. And you guys, he said, I haven't seen folks dressing all out like that in a long time. It's refreshing. He said, oh, my God, it's so refreshing. And I said, yeah, you're right.
During COVID, people, you know, the COVID thing made people like jeans and sweatshirts and all of that. And the getting dressed kind of went by the wayside. And I just think, you know, I always like to dress up when I go out.
Me too.
I'm not a jeans person, but it just gives you an opportunity to look nice. What's wrong with that? You know,
to look nice. And it makes you strut a little higher and all that.
It does. Yeah. It was really, really good. And like you said, it was nice to see a lot of people that, you know, because I kind of pretty much stay in my cocoon doing what I do, but it's nice to see friends. Like I hadn't seen Dr. Caesar or Dr. Kelly for a while, and it was good to see them. And, you know, a lot of folks that I just don't run into all the time. So, no, it was good. Kudos to the Lynx.
Kudos to the Lynx. And it was great, too. People were asking, even Mark Paco from the Metro Monthly, he said, look, we got to get together, Vicky, because I want you to help me to, because he has a thing in his paper, I think in February, where he kind of showcased a little bit about the different nonprofit organizations in this area and the things that they do. So he definitely told me that he want me to help him get with the Lynx so he can have them in there too. And I told him I'll let everyone know. But
good.
Yeah,
that's good.
So because people need to know who we are.
Who we are.
They need to know who we are. But that, that was good. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. It was great.
Yes. Was your week, what else you did for your week?
So,
I know.
Other than having a cold, which I was trying to fight, COVID negative 2 or 3 or 4 times. There's a monster out here. It's not COVID, but there's some other respiratory something going around. But in spite of that, I did 2 performances of The Messiah, which was always, I did it last year. But this time we did 2 performances. We did a performance Sunday night at Blessed Sacrament Church in Warren.
Okay.
And then on Monday night, we went to St. Columbo Church, which head of the diocese.
Big time.
In Youngstown. And it was very well received. This is the first time they've ever had this Warren Civic Choir there. And the church was packed. I was shocked.
Okay.
So it was really, really good. Our conductor, Dr. Lee from YSU, you know, when he starts out in October, it's like herding cats. You know, people have been off all the summer and trying to get all these voices and stuff together. And then at the end on Monday night, you could just see a sigh of relief in him saying like,
I
did
know.
It again.
Yeah,
you know,
that's wonderful.
Yeah, that music just kind of gets you started.
Oh, doesn't
for
it? Doesn't it?
Season, yeah.
Yes, yes. So that's very good. That's very good. So we are starting off our season very well. I was looking up, seeing when I'm gonna go and see the Nutcracker. I might do it in Cleveland this time. See the Nutcracker and everything, because that's what I love to see, the dancing and
me
stuff.
Me too.
Yes.
Me too.
Big time.
Me too.
All right. Well, what is going on this week, D?
Everything, Vicky.
Yes. You know, I always forget when they talk about Fred Gray. I always forget that he went to Case Law School. And so it was a big write-up
And you also forgot, too, he spoke at Natalie's graduation.
Yes, he did. Didn't he? He sure did.
And I have big pictures of him. I mean, that was the bomb diggity. Fred Gray spoke at Natalie's graduation.
Yes, he did. It was great. Remember? I remember. Oh, my God.
Yes.
And he did a powerful, was great. Yes.
Yes. And so, you're looking at an icon. That's why the graduation, in addition to Natalie's graduation, was so special to have him speak. A civil rights icon.
He spoke in. And he still, when I read this article, he's still practicing. He's 92 and he's still practicing in, I think, Alabama. Isn't that something?
Yep.
He's still practicing.
Sure is.
And so what they did, what the reason why it was a write-up, they're recognizing him on Rosa Parks Day. So when Alabama native Rosa Parks refused to give up her bus seat to a white passenger in 1955, she became a household name as a leader of the civil rights movement. Her decision, which Ohioans, they celebrate, and it's December the 1st, Rosa Parks Day, okay? And it's cemented another name in history because with them celebrating her, then guess what? They had to celebrate Fred Gray because he was the 24-year-old attorney at the time and one of the few African-American lawyers in her home state at the time. And that's where the whole, when you talk about the civil rights movement and all of that starting up, Fred Gray was in the mix, you know.
He was.
And so, yeah, so they were really celebrating him and recognizing him. And so they had a whole write up and it was in their case newspaper. And so that's why I wanted to.
Oh, that's where you saw it. OK,
that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I was like, oh, my goodness, you're right. And remember, they portrayed him. What's his name? Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yes.
In the movie Selma.
Yes.
And that was 2014. Yes. It's something how the time goes by fast. It was 2014 when they did that. But it really talks about, you know, him and how he counseled, Gray counseled Parks about what she might do if asked to give up her seat to a white passenger. And when the event took place, represented her in court, and the choice ultimately resulted in the Supreme Court upholding lower court decisions prohibiting segregation on city buses, the first of many successes in a career that led Gray to earn the Presidential Medal of Freedom. He did that just in 2022. And so, encouraged by a teacher to apply to law school despite earlier plans, he had earlier plans to become a historian and preacher. He moved to Cleveland and received his law degree, Juris Doctor degree, from Case Western Reserve University School of Law in 1954. And at that time, there was no law school in Alabama that would accept African Americans. And so it talks about that, and, you know, how he was at the forefront with all of that. And that's how his career as a civil rights lawyer, I mean, that's how it took off. Yeah, he was in a lot of the marches and stuff. And so, yeah, I thought that was interesting. But it slipped my mind that, oh, my God, yes, he went to Case.
I refused to delete off of my phone because, you know, Attorney Gray can't live forever. But I just remember, I used to go with my sister and brother-in-law to the National Bar Association meetings, and Fred Gray was an icon. I mean, black attorneys would literally just about bow in front of him because he and Thurgood Marshall, all those guys were on the forefront of the civil rights movement when a lot of people were getting killed down south. You know, you, a lawyer, you're going to represent, you've seen the movies, you're going to represent a black woman like this. And people, you know, it was a very dangerous time then. And and the last time I saw Fred Gray, not with the, but when I saw him with Glenda and Bob, he was in his 80s or something, completely lucid.
Yes.
And like you say, practicing law. Well, look, how long ago was it that Natalie graduated? I forget.
I know. It's been,
five or 6 years ago?
Yeah,
2016,
something like that. 2016.
And here's this man, and he's 90-something, and here's this man then giving a commencement address. Can you imagine?
I know. And it was fluent. I mean, it was flowing.
Completely. So, like I said, I thank you for not only inviting me for our Natalie, but for Fred Gray.
Yes, buddy. Yes, yes. And so they do have a scholarship in his name, and it exists, and this is what we all have to write now, underrepresented students at Case.
Right.
Okay. Sure. And so in 2017, the Case Western Reserve Law Review brought together many leading scholars to reflect on his career. And so, yeah, so kudos to him. They were just talking about him, put it in the newspaper just to remind us that, yeah, he's still doing great things and he's practicing still at age 92.
It's amazing. It's just absolutely amazing.
It is amazing. Just,
you know, when you think about, and he's gotten every award in the world, every award in the world.
Yes.
So yeah, that's, when I saw this, I didn't realize that December the 1st was Rosa Parks Day. Did you know that?
No. No, because I always, you know, when I think of December 1st, I think of HIV, AIDS, and war.
AIDS Day, yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, world AIDS. Yeah, I didn't know that. So that's why I said, oh, look at here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there it is. Well, you brought to our attention about our girl, right?
You know what? The reason I wanted to bring this up is, you know, when this young lady first started to run, you know, you remember her with all the tattoos and the long, you know, she kind of reminded you of the Flo-Jo back in the day.
Yes.
Who had the long nails and was unconventional runner and all of that. And she won, you know, great races and stuff. But Sha'Carri, she got off on the wrong track. She was a very good runner, but she got caught
runner.
Up in drugs.
Yes, she did.
And I really believe that everybody thought, well, you know, this is going to be her downfall. And she was raised by her grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember her when this happened, you know, was saying that she still was going to fall back on her grandmother's principles. And, you know, she knows she wasn't proud of her and this, that, and the other. And she vowed to kind of get herself back together. And I just think this is a true story of like the Donnie McClurkin song that we sing. I remember when I was down at Maya Angelou's, you know, we fall down, but we get up.
A
saint is just a sinner who got up, you know, and dusted himself off. And so I just thought this was great. And here she is. I mean, we all knew a little marijuana was not going to make a big difference in her running or not, but it was illegal.
No, it wasn't.
It was illegal.
Yes.
You know, we knew she was going to be fast, but it was illegal. So that was the problem. So Sha'Carri Richardson has been named Athlete of the Year. The Accomplished Star was honored on, and I'm looking at these write-ups, the Accomplished Star. These are the same people that would not have given her the time of day.
Yes.
They would have said, well, you know, she's just going down the same pathway.
Yep.
Another black athlete,
like
Marion Jones, mm-hmm. and she's not going to make it, this, that, and the other. And so she got an Athlete of the Year. The Accomplished Star was honored on Sunday at the U.S. Track and Field Night of Legends ceremony on December the 3rd, where she received the Jackie Joyner Kersey Athlete of the Year for Women Award for her dominant performances in 2023. And those that don't remember Jackie Joyner Kersey was a major Olympian back in the day and was a decathlon person. And she was related to Flo-Jo through her husband and so forth. So Richardson's feats include wins at Budapest World Athlete Championship, the 100 meter, the 200 meter, the women's 4x100 relay competitions. The LSU legend accepted the accolade and delivered a speech in person. 23-year-old spoke about her faith in God and how everything that has happened to her thus far was written. Sha'Carri also expressed her responsibility as one of the USATF's top athletes. With the God that I serve, everything happens when it's supposed to happen, she says. So when I stand here today as the world champion, that's because now was the time for that to happen. Now is the most impactful it would be, the most powerful it would be, and the most sincere it would be. I understand the influence that I have. I understand the responsibility that I have to USATF. And as a top female ASA athlete, and to my country, and to my black family, to my beautiful women, to everybody that has been misunderstood for trying to be their best selves and not put into a category because they do track and field and have been put in a bubble. Elsewhere, Sha'Carri is featured on Forbes' 30 Under 30 sports list. The annual list honors 600 North American leaders from 20 various sports. Richardson was among the top 30 on the coveted list. Sha'Carri Richardson missed the Tokyo Olympics in 2021 after a failed drug test drew her 1-month suspension. She was later lauded for speaking openly about how she used cannabis to cope with Olympic qualifying and the death of her biological mother, the Forbes profile details. After disappointing 2022 season, she took gold in the 100 meters at the 2023 World Championships with the fifth fastest time ever. She also won bronze in the 200. So there you have it. Good for her.
So people can change.
People can change.
People
was a very young girl at the time. People make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, it's just always very interesting. The bandwagoners that jump on the bandwagon after she's gotten her success, who wouldn't have given her the time of day. But I do have to interject one more thing here, which is a little amusing. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the new, and Mark and I were talking about it a little bit, the new CNN, speaking of athletes, Charles Barkley and...
I haven't watched it yet. Is it funny?
So, Vicky...
It's not good.
Mark and I, so they the point of the show was they were going to come on and talk about just everyday issues. And Mark and I just kind of said, well, I'm not sure that Charles Barkley would be the person.
I already knew.
I mean...
he's with Gail. I mean, the GOAT.
He's with Gail. I mean, it was just such an offset. Here's Gail.
She's the GOAT.
Who evolved herself
into
a world-class journalist.
Yes, she is.
Over the years, and thanks to Oprah's help and pushing her forward, and she got her... She's cut her teeth in CBS News and become a very reputable journalist. To me, it was just kind of ludicrous that they would match up.
Yeah,
Charles
I thought it was
going to
be crazy anyway, but.
Well, the reviews, the ratings
aren't
were
good.
Not the greatest.
Really?
And so I noticed tomorrow that it's coming on at an earlier time, and I suspect it just may evolve
it's
itself.
It's going to come no on
time.
Through and, and be on at 2 and 1 a.m. where it is, and then nothing.
I just had to mention that. I mean, I'm not sure that I want to get my reflections of today's news.
I know, right? Hey, I gotta watch it just for that. But
it's coming on tomorrow.
But when they said that, I was like, I couldn't even see it because you know we always say that's terrible, that's terrible, that's. And I can't talk about nobody. I can't talk about nobody talking because I mess up on the word. But at least I sound a little bit like I know what I'm.
And you know, you're versatile on world issues.
I can't see him.
It's about you're versatile on all kinds of issues, eclectic issues. But I'm sorry, Charles Barkley just didn't do it for me. I mean, really, I don't know what Gail King was thinking about when they were sitting at that board table and somebody said, well, let's put Charles Barkley next to you. I'm not sure.
Well, she was looking at that money. That's all she was looking at.
And she didn't lose her and she didn't leave her job at CBS. How
right,
about that?
Right. Because she knew. She probably was like, are you kidding? But that's the way we're going to give you something million. OK, well, I do it. Hell.
I think I'm going to keep a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah, she's still on CBS News, right?
Yeah. But anyway, Dee, what's the latest?
Well, the latest is, and I'm going to be talking about it a little bit more. I've been coming on television a little more recently to give people the sounding alarm that COVID is back with a vengeance, not, of course, like it was, certainly not like it was pre-vaccine, and not like it was maybe 2 years ago or even a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. But we're seeing, you know, we lost a lot of the metrics that we had to measure how COVID was doing in our community. And on May the 15th or 17th or something like that, the government stopped mandating that states and health departments and counties and all of that needed to report COVID prevalence. Mm-hmm. So the only way that people in the communities now have any way of knowing what's going on is increased hospitalizations and wastewater. Well, I'm here to tell you that the hospitalizations, I walked down the hall, I just walked down there today, and the numbers, the signs are back up, droplet precaution.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They're trying to, another thing that they used to do when you get ready to send patients to nursing homes, and they stopped it, but they restarted it, mm-hmm. you have to have a COVID test before you send these people back to a nursing home. We're finding all these people who've been in the hospital a week, 2 weeks, whatever, do a COVID test, they got COVID. Mm. So I'm about ready to... not mask mandate, but to have, I said to the CEO yesterday, day before yesterday, you know, you might want to strongly encourage to your employees that they might want to put the mask back on because it's circulating in the hospital. So we'll talk more about life expectancy data and slow rebound from COVID, the COVID pandemic.
All right. Well, thank you, Dee. Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Vicky Haywood Doe. I just wanted to break in for a quick second and introduce to you the sponsor and creator of this show. It's the company I own, Haywood Doe Consulting Co., doing business as Vicky Doe Fitness. We are a health and wellness consulting company that specializes in designing and implementing medically integrated applied exercise physiology-based fitness wellness programs, initiatives, events, health promotion, and health education for special populations such as older folks, children, adolescents, overweight and obese individuals, women's health, and those who have chronic diseases. We have a team and network of healthcare professionals based out of Northeast Ohio, and we've worked with many companies, schools, churches, and organizations. If your goal is to transform your life by taking a holistic approach to living a life of health and total well-being, get in touch with us at info@vickidofitness.com. To find out more about our own site and online programs and services, go to vickidofitness.com. And now back to the show. Well, today we talk about the new CDC life expectancy data that has come out, and it looks like we are rebounding slowly from the pandemic. And so it's talking about how life expectancy in 2022 rose more than a full year to 77.5 years that folks, you know, for life expectancy. And this data was released about, I would say, two Wednesdays ago. And it was from the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention. And so, Dee, I'm going to let you go ahead and do your thing.
This article was in the Washington Post by Joel Achenbach and Dan Keating. And like you said, it came out November the 29th, 2023. So obviously very recent. So newly published data on life expectancy in the United States shows a partial rebound from the worst phase of the coronavirus pandemic. But drug overdoses, homicides, and chronic illnesses such as heart disease continue to drive a long-term mortality crisis that has made this country an outlier in longevity among wealth nations. And I don't get it. Mm-hmm. You know, Vicky, mm-hmm. we're getting to the bottom of the barrel with mortality in infant and maternal mortality, which we've talked about on this show. Why is it that we're wealthy and we can't get our health together, health thing together? Mm. So life expectancy in 2022 rose more than a full year to 77.5 years in data released Wednesday by the CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. More than four-fifths of this positive jump was attributable to a drop in COVID-19 deaths. Well, we lost a million people.
I know.
But the rebound in 2022, which the CDC had anticipated after studying death rates, regained less than half the years lost to the pandemic, the Federal Health Agency reported. The amount of recovery is not as much as we'd like to see, Stephen Wolf, Director Emeritus of the Center on Society and Health at Virginia Commonwealth University, said after reviewing the report. He said many peer countries suffered small drops in life expectancy and rebounded more quickly from COVID-19's impact. It's disturbing but not surprising to me, Wolf said, that we have not experienced the recovery that other countries have. In 2019, the U.S. life expectancy at birth was 78.8 years. That figure cratered to 76.4 in 2021, the lowest since 1996. That was due partly to an extraordinary wave of COVID deaths in January and February of that year, and as the United States had only begun to roll out vaccines. The following winter saw another short but intense wave of deaths as the Omicron variant of the virus reached the country, creating the last major surge in pandemic deaths. There appears to have been some recovery from COVID, but we still have a way to go, said Dr. William Schaffner. He's one of our infectious disease gurus.
Okay.
He's at Vanderbilt University of Medicine, School of Medicine. COVID remains with us and continues to put people in the hospital and have a substantial mortality rate associated with it, particularly among older people and people who are immunocompromised, said Dr. Schaffner. An epidemic of chronic illness is killing us too soon. The rise in certain chronic diseases in the United States and slower progress in combating others, put the nation in a vulnerable position when the novel virus arrived. A scattered and politically polarized response to the pandemic played a role in the dire death toll that followed, as did resistance to vaccination and other public health measures. You remember, Vicki, a lot of people, mm-hmm. especially African Americans and Latinos, mm-hmm. had this big vaccine hesitancy,
yes.
based on remembering, you know, the Tuskegee experiment and a lot of other issues or situations in this country where, you know, the United States has not been altogether forthcoming on making sure that our citizens are all treated equally.
All right.
A scattered and politically polarized response to the pandemic played a role in the dire death toll that followed, as did resistance to vaccination and other public health measures, as I said. So no other wealthy country experienced so high a rate of death per capita from COVID. The new numbers are clearly positive compared to 2021, but the same data showed the dramatic and protracted impact of the pandemic between 2019 and 2021. Life expectancy dropped 2.4 years, and the 2022 jump restored only 1.1 years of that deficit. Men lost 2.8 years in those first 2 years, and women 2.1 years. Now, the audience can't see it, but there's a graph in the graph in the article, and it just shows the what they were talking about from 2002 to 2022. So from 2002, males, all in females, going from 70 to 78, everybody was going up until we hit about just before 2020, about 2019, early 2020, when the pandemic hit. And then you see a sharp drop in
big
females
time.
And all in males. And then in 2022, you see a gradual going up, but never regaining where we were, say, in 2018. The United States has dug itself into a huge life expectancy hole. And not just because of the virus that slipped into the country in stealth fashion in 2020. In articles this year, the Washington Post has explored the many reasons this country lags peer nations in life expectancy. And a major finding is that chronic conditions such as heart disease, obesity, diabetes, and cancer play an underappreciated role in suppressing lifespans. Nobody has the heart disease like we have. Nobody has the obesity, Vicki, like we have. The diabetes and cancer and all that's out of control in this country. The new report affirms that conclusion. Although the coming and going of COVID explains much of the shape of the mortality curve during the past several years, the CDC death data from the past decade and a half shows an ominous long-term trend in mortality that is not solely due to the coronavirus or other high-profile killers, including drug overdoses and gun homicides. Life expectancy rose in a relatively steady fashion for all of the 20th century and the first decade of the 21st. But starting in 2010, the country entered a decade of stagnation in this key metric. Drug overdoses, homicides, and suicides played a major role in flattening the life expectancy curve. But the greatest erosion in lifespan comes from chronic illnesses, the Post found in its analysis of death data. Life expectancy peaked at 78.9 in 2014 and then dipped or remained flat through 2019. The new CDC data, despite showing an improvement in 2022, suggests that this period of disappointing life expectancy will continue. And that's sad because we're not improving heart disease, obesity, diabetes, and we're not improving. I mean, we're improving the treatments of cancer, but the development of cancer.
The cause. We're not attacking that.
We're doing good with treatment, but with the causes, no. The pattern is consistent with the stagnation that we've seen since 2020, said Elizabeth Arias, a demographer with the CDC's National Center for Health Statistics and lead author of the new report. Even without the pandemic, life expectancy was flat or declining. Arya said. This is a whole new territory that we're in beginning a decade ago. So here's another graph. Mm-hmm. If I could explain it, life expectancy peaked in 2014 and plummeted during the coronavirus pandemic, regaining in only some of the losses in 2022. Mm-hmm. So you see, again, above the graph above going up to what about 20? Well, everything was going up until 2014. Mm-hmm. And then things started to dip after that and dip way, way down in 2020 and now regaining somewhat in 2022, according to this mm-hmm. type of bar graph. Mm-hmm. Very few countries have yet published life expectancy data for 2022 as reflected in records at the International Health Mortality Database. Now, maybe they're worse than ours. I don't know. We'll have to see. But mm-hmm. we do know mm-hmm. they don't seem to have the kind of chronic illnesses consistently and in great numbers like we do, especially obesity. Mm-hmm. Sweden, the few that have, however, all show quicker recovery from the pandemic. Sweden in 2022 was back to the same life expectancy as before COVID, 83.1 years. Wow.
I know.
More than 5.5 years longer than the United States.
Wow.
Belgium, Denmark, Norway mm-hmm. had just slightly lower expectancy than before the pandemic. Among countries reporting data for 2022, Finland comes closest. That's what we're thinking about going there this summer.
Okay.
Finland comes closest to the profile of the United States in terms of recovery from the devastation wrought by the pandemic. In Finland, life expectancy was down 0.6 years compared with 2019. But that loss is less than half of the United States, decrease of 1.3 years since 2019. And we don't talk about Finland a lot. But those people are thin, they walk yes. a lot. When you really dig into the culture, you look at the foods that they eat, mm-hmm. it's no big magic.
No, it's not.
That's all of a sudden come over Finland that makes them better than us.
Right.
They're not digging their cells. They're not digging their graves with their teeth.
That's it. That's it.
And we are to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. Life expectancy at birth is not a prediction for any individual, but a statistical artifact, one that aggregates death rates for many different age cohorts and creates a handy, if potentially confusing, measure of a nation's overall health. Dr. Schaffner, going back to my Dr. Schaffner, our ID doctor, the Vanderbilt doctor, said the lingering effects of the pandemic and other health challenges provide a reminder that the United States needs to continue its comprehensive childhood vaccination program, mm. which typically requires children to be immunized before attending school. And you know, Vicki, mm. we've got all this now big group of anti-vaxxers.
Yes.
This big group of anti-vaxxers.
And it's a lot of those stuff that we never heard of. It's here. Some of that stuff
coming
is,
back.
Yeah, it's
coming
like,
back.
What is going
diphtheria,
on?
Diphtheria, measles, mm. mumps. All this stuff that we eradicated with vaccines, these people have decided they're going to dig their heels in the sand and they know better than mm. infectious diseases. Mm. So, and now we have a slow erosion of that with increasing vaccine skepticism. Mm-hmm. You know, when we were growing up, Vicki, mm-hmm. our parents just marched us to the doctor's office and we put our arms up and butts up and all
and everything
other stuff
else, and dig your shot.
Right?
And came on home and kept on moving.
And just came on home. You had a little bit of a fever. You gave a little Tylenol and you kept it moving. Mm-hmm. But now people are digging into the whereas and the whys and what's in this. You know, if people did that with what they ate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
Things might be a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know, people, well, what's in that vaccine? Well, I don't want to take it because it's got. Well, what were in those potato chips that you just ate
yes.
yesterday?
That chicken guy used to say from down that chicken sandwich, that sandwich, that chicken
right.
sandwich that you.
And that you don't know whether it was chicken or some processed whatever animal
yes.
or fake something or other.
Yes, yes, yes.
You're
yes.
not digging into that.
Mm-mm.
And that's the rub.
That is.
So the new CDC report, which is considered provisional mm-hmm. in advance of a final report due this month in December, captures the racial and ethnic disparities. Well, we know where that's going mm. in life expectancy that were exacerbated by the pandemic. So the United States gets a sneeze, and Black folks and Hispanics and those of other ethnicities, mm-hmm. we get pneumonia.
That's it.
So all race and ethnicity groups in the country have lower life expectancy as of 2022 than before the pandemic. Native Americans suffered the largest overall decline, almost 4 years to less than 68 years. Mm. Black people suffered the second largest life expectancy setback of 2 years. Now, remember, the Native Americans mm-hmm. are fraught with the same problems that a lot of African Americans and Latinos are, mm-hmm. alcoholism, drug addiction, heart disease, mm-hmm. obesity, and all of that. When I lived in Minnesota, mm-hmm. the minority group was a lot different now, but mm-hmm. the minority group were the Dakota Indians. Mm-hmm. And you saw all of the healthcare disparities that we would see in African Americans and Latinos in that population, women, mm. you know, infant mortality, maternal mortality, and all of that. So Hispanic life expectancy is 1.9 years less than before COVID. And the overall decline for white people was 1.3 and for Asian people, 1.1. Mm-hmm. Pandemic life expectancy changes by year for race and ethnicity pretty much mirrors on this graph that you all can't mm-hmm. see mm-hmm. out there in TV land. But it just pretty much mirrors what I said about the decrease in life expectancy per ethnic group. Yeah, so that's the end of that article. Mm-hmm. What are your comments, Vicki, about that?
Well, you know, we keep going back to the same conclusion. Yes, life expectancy, we know that it did go down because, you know, people were dying and COVID and all that. But at the end of the day, we still have our lifestyle habits to be to blame for a lot of these deaths still, you know, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, pre-diabetic. Now, I was looking at the numbers now. It's like, I think it's 1 in 4 or 1. I mean, it's really close there. It's a lot. And folks don't know that they're pre-diabetic. Those are the big right. numbers, too. And then right. they don't know that they were until type 2 diabetes now. And they didn't have time enough, or they didn't have the chance, if they had known, to change their lifestyle. But a lot of times, people don't really want to change their lifestyle. I don't know.
I don't know either. And another thing that I was thinking about as I was reading this article, mm-hmm. and of course, I always think about your honey sweet and my mm-hmm. dear friend and colleague, Dr. Doe, mm-hmm. kidney disease. Mm-hmm. How many African Americans go into any, and this is something that you don't hear a lot about, go into any dialysis center. How many dialysis centers do they have in this, just in this city?
A lot.
And mm-hmm. Vicki, they're running 24/7.
Yes, they are.
They're running 24/7. So you've got to include kidney disease, which is a result of diabetes and hypertension mm-hmm. and so forth. Mm-hmm. And as part of this mix, because not everybody's getting a kidney transplant.
Mm-hmm. I know. You're right. You're right. When they look, though, and that's what's coming out, too, because like I said, I was at a webinar and looking at some of the stats. So now they're truly are looking, they're saying, and they've been saying that, look, you know, we got chronic diseases here. The only thing that match was with infectious disease, you know, you got your infection, bam, you got your vaccines and so forth and so on. But with the chronic diseases, they're realizing, you know, we medicating people, you know, but after a while, medication ain't working. We got to get these mm-hmm. people to really think about lifestyle. That was great, Dee. And so I will say that moving forward, we should, even though our life expectancy is going up slowly but surely, we should definitely think about, you know, honing in into our lifestyle, what we do, our exercise, how we eat, and all of that. That is important. And yeah, people, go and get your vaccines and let's keep it moving. We want to have a wonderful holiday season and we want to really get focused on taking care of our health. This ends our show, Dee. So do you have any tips that we should think about?
Well, I just think that this article brings up a point that we're still, you know, coming out of this and certainly really, it brings home what we've already known about healthcare disparities and worse. And when I hate to see these life expectancy data, when you look at countries like Finland and people living to 83, because I think most people feel because we've done so many great things with medications and, you know, people are on dialysis and we have heart surgeries and cancer treatments and all of that, that our numbers should be in the 80s. And when you look at this, it's shocking to find out that it's not. Underlying problem are the chronic illnesses that we have. Mm-hmm. And I think this is an excellent article to shake us back into the reality that we ain't looking so great compared to the rest of the world.
That's it.
We're really not.
All right. And as always, for more information, go to our website, VickiDoeFitness.com. And remember, if you have any questions, comments, or just something to say, tweet us, email us, go on Facebook, and share with us your thoughts.
You've been listening to It's All About Health and Fitness with Dr. Vicki Hayward Doe and Dr. Virginia Banks Bright. Vicki Doe is owner of Vicki Doe Fitness, a multimedia health and wellness forum, a place to discuss, learn, and participate in healthy living. You can get in touch with Vicki by email at info@VickiDoeFitness.com.